You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 kins. What's happening out there? The screen on the computer could be my light hair coming back in or something. I don't know what's happening with the camera, but it's awfully bright outside. And then I put an extra light in this particular area for lighting. So as long as you can see me, I guess we'll just have to deal with it. I don't know what's happening there. But anyway, hey, what's happening with everybody? Before we get into the show today, we are doing a commentary. Guess, way too easy when I'm going to do the commentary on. It's so cool. Anyway, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. Call him anytime. Let him know what's happening. He will definitely take care of you. He is a wonderful human being and very special in my heart. So Kevin Pike, 818-571-1508. Now into the show. So today, I happened to watch a movie called The Uglies. Now, I didn't know it was a book until, you know, I started doing a little research. I like kiddie stuff every once in a while, even though I'm way past whatever a kid's supposed to be. It's the little girl in me that comes out. So I watched this movie. And the interesting thing about the movie is that whenever anyone in the society turns 16, they automatically go through this transformation where the government or whoever the dictatorship is decide that they have to be pretty. So I found out that it's a trilogy, a series written by Scott Westerfield in 2024. It was, I think it came onto Netflix in September 2024 is when they start running it. But it's a trilogy where the series are the Uglies, the Pretties, the Specials. And then I think the fourth book is going to be a companion called The Extras. So I don't know all this mean, but I thought found it fascinating. First of all, before we get more into it, I wanted to give a shout out to Kelly Wallace at the Los Angeles County Library. She is wonderful. She did some research that I so very much needed. I needed some stuff from way back in the day. And thanks to the wonderful archives that they keep there, I was able to get it from Kelly Wallace, who is a, let me see, her title is a history subject specialist, and she works in the history and the genealogy department of the Los Angeles Public Library. 213-228-7000. If you want to reach out, please do, and support our local branches. I am a library. I do have a library card, even though I will tell the truth, I let it expire, but I always go back and redo it because you never know when you're going to need to go to the library. And sometimes online, it's just not thorough enough. They don't have enough information. Maybe they weren't alive when things were happening. I don't know. It's just not enough. But anyway, let's get more into the story. So in the movie The Uglies, I think Laverne Cox did a wonderful job. She plays Dr. Cable. It's directed by MCG, and Joey King plays Tally Youngblood. Yeah. Chase Stokes plays Perez, and Keith David, he plays a character called David. But anyway, in the movie, it starts out, well, you know, they're watching everyone else get their, you know, become pretty. So they're going through this surgery. It's a transformation that's supposed to make pretty you up from the version that you are now on. So in the movie, she is called by her best friend. It's this guy. She calls him Nose, and he calls her Squint. So he calls her Squint because her natural face is to squint her eyes. She calls him Nose because in his natural face, he has a big nose. So they find these things to be very, very attractive to each other. They vow in blood that they're never going to be separated. Nothing's ever going to come between them. Even if one of them becomes pretty, the other one will still hold on to their own original identity. So the government forces, I guess you would call it baby Botox on them. So they start prepping them by, you know, they have to go and watch in the auditorium of who's going to be the next one selected to get their pretty transformation. Basically, in our world, we have TikTok, we have smartphones to pretty us up or ugly us up. We even have these kind of cameras, like this is a computer screen. And because of the lighting in the room or something's happening, the filter on the camera inside of the computer is changing, like shading or something, just from the lighting from the outside. So it's hard to see someone's clear face when they are, you know, when there's a filter, when there's some extra thing added on. This is my natural face. I have a little bit of makeup on. I don't wear a lot of makeup. I don't need to. But a little bit lips and eyes. But at the same time, if you notice, it's a little bit hazy. So in the movie, they don't, you know, they don't have smartphones. I think in the movie, they escape the ones that are rebelling. Tally ends up busting and crashing into one of their after you become pretty parties. And because she wants to know what happened to her friend, the nose, because he is selected to do the next transformation. So in the movie, they're running about. He then goes, gets his transformation after bowing. And then they make a promise, I think, to meet down at the bridge or somewhere they're supposed to meet during the movie after his transformation. Because after the transformation, nothing is supposed to change. Anyway, turns out that after he gets the transformation, something shifts in him. She goes to the party. She's looking for him everywhere. She, some kind of way, as they're walking by on the top portion of the bridge where the party is being held, she ends up, one of the masks or something that they use ends up falling down on her face. So she becomes like instantly gorgeous, where she sees herself a different way. She feels a different way. She's walking through the party like I'm a big deal. And there's a couple of times somebody goes by and they go, "Hey, beautiful," or "Hey, pretty girl," or something like that. Now, I happen to have a connection to this story. Let me tell you why. When I was a young girl, they called me Pretty Girl. That was my nickname. There was nothing I felt pretty about me, but that was my nickname, Pretty Girl. Looking outside in, wonderful image, whatever's supposed to be going on inside. Inside, I felt ugly because my mom in particular gave me some very negative programming about how I look. Well, I never held that against my mom or anyone from that generation. They were like second generation slaves. So in their minds, they were ugly and they were big lipped and pie mouthed. But my mother didn't live to see all the people trying to get their mouths, paying money to get their mouths like a pie, paying money to get their lips big, getting money, paying money to get their butts big, paying money to get their nose big. And basically the delusion, it's a delusion. You can be look any way you want to on the outside. If you're not comfortable with who you are on the inside, you're going to come off as ugly. And even if people see you as beautiful inside, it will read through. Your energy will smell weird. You feel weird when you go around people. They'll feel it, even though they may not say anything. People may come around you and then leave very quickly for whatever. So I was one of those people that grew up with an image that people saw you one way on the outside and inside you're suffering. you look, I'm the ugliest thing in the world. Oh my gosh, even suicidal at some point. You know, I couldn't be the image of whoever they are talking about. So I really got into this movie. Like I said, it's a kid's movie, but it was very interesting of how in modern day time these things are going on. So you have like your celebrities. Teyana Taylor, shout out to you, young sister, for doing your thing. And I know you've done some work behind the scenes that nobody sees or knows about until you tell your story. So everybody sees the outcome. They don't see the process of what had to happen for you to get to where you are. And the timing and everything is timing in life. Everything is timing in life. The delusion is that it's going to last forever. It does not last forever. There are going to be people that come along and be younger, brighter, finer, cuter, talk whatever the difference is. And then they'll be the talk of the town. And then they'll be the tinsel in the whole thing. So it's really interesting to see the process of how stars rise. Some of them keep rising. Some of them go in the middle. Some of them fall altogether. Depending on the team of people they trust, who their background is, where they came from, who their parents are, who gave them nurturing and taught them how to be themselves and things like that. I don't necessarily know what has happened, but I know that in the movie, there's a big push for everyone to look the same way. Number one, isn't it kind of boring for everyone to look the same way? How can you build upon a face if it looks like everybody else's? And the fact that everyone would want, it was reminding me of that movie, The Stepford Wives, almost, where, you know, everyone was so mechanical and so busy being who everybody wanted them to be that they forgot how to be themselves. Well, you know, when you're like myself, one of the black sheeps, the person that wasn't supposed to be successful, you were too nice, naive, kind. Everybody thinks that. Why does everyone think that when people are kind and they're compassionate, that they're naive or they don't know anything when they're just being kind and extending their heart often to people that don't deserve it? So as Tally was trying to get into the party, moving through with her little fake mask on, giving her the delusion or an illusion that she was some other kind of way that she wasn't, she runs into her friend and she says, "Hey, so how was it?" He suddenly has shifted. He changes his attitude. She's noticing like, what's going on? Why are you treating me in some kind of different way? I thought we made a pact that we wouldn't change. Why didn't you meet me down at the bridge? Where were we supposed to meet? Oh, he says, I was having a good time, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a natural thing that happens after the transformation. And meanwhile, Miss Squint is still looking like, huh? I thought we were friends, you know. Apparently they weren't. So now Miss Thing, after she's discovered that she's not a pretty, she's not been selected to be a pretty yet, she tries to flee from the party. They're unannounced, not supposed to be there. And she does this thing where she jumps into something. I'm not going to tell you everything about the movie. Well, the movie's been out since September 24th. So if you haven't watched it, then watch it, you know. But basically, it's a society, basically kind of what we living in now, that if you're a person from another country, you have different beliefs, maybe different systems, but they're all, even though different beliefs, they are all there to make you a better version of yourself, you know, give you some kind of economic stand to build a life on. We have a family that we're usually born into, whether we said we wanted them or not, some kind of karmic circumstances that we're supposed to experience those families so that we can then experience this full version of ourselves that eventually we're supposed to get to. If we do the right things and say the right things and meet the right people and this, that, and the other. So she ends up doing this big badass thing by, you know, escaping the police, and they got her cornered. And then one of the uglies, someone that hasn't made the pretty transformation yet, shows up and rescues her. You know, they start hanging out. She finds that there's a whole nother society, like an underworld, again, like in our world, your LGBTQIA plus communities, your Black communities, your Hispanic communities, your Armenian communities, your Slavic communities, all of the communities that are not the general community are the ones that are downplayed, kind of looked down upon. You know, I think I saw online someone was upset because Zoe Saldana won an Oscar. Why would you be upset that anyone won an Oscar? Winning an Oscar is not easy. And it's usually people out there that don't know the entertainment industry. They're outside looking in. So they read the trades and they listen to the gossip on TV, not knowing it's all programmed. A lot of people say things because that's what they're supposed to say. They're on camera. A lot of people say don't forget, these people have representatives, especially if they're famous. Their representatives will say, don't say this. You can say that. This might cause this kind of problem. That might cause that kind of problem. They teach them. It's a program. So please don't get it twisted. And please don't ever think you out there that because you're on the outside looking in entertainment, you know what's happening. You don't. It's like somebody, until you ride a bicycle, you can watch all the bicycles you want to. Until you get on one, you're not going to know, oh, wow. I didn't know it took your feet to do this, to ride the bike, or I didn't know it had this on the other side. Or as a matter, you know, what I'm trying to say is that nothing is ever as it appears to be. Ever. Nothing is ever as it appears to be. Even if you become the most beautiful person in the world, like my mother said, you could walk down the street with a damn gold suit on and somebody gonna have something to say. It just goes with the territory. So again, in the movie, you know, I guess the more dumbed down, the more a person could be controlled, the more or perceived to be able to be controlled, the more you were liked, the more popular you were. The people that really stood by, I want to be myself, I don't want to change. I like my big nose. I like my squinty eyes. I like the mole in the center of my mouth. I like my earlobes and hang kind of lower than the other part. I like all of that. I've learned to love myself. So you're telling me that I'm not supposed to love this version of myself. I'm only supposed to love another version of myself. It looks like everyone else. Again, boring, boring, even nature. I'm around dogs all the time and animals. I've come to love the kingdom of the animal kingdom just from having a dog and being able to understand how that whole kingdom works. And the fact that they are like these unbelievable productions of life and the intelligence of life and energy is absolutely amazing to me. So unbelievable. And so, you know, we now have smartphones to lower our self-esteem. We have smartphones to raise our self-esteem. We have some people that they don't even have a good grip of who they are. And so it can be very misleading if you don't have a good idea of who you are. It can be very, very misleading. And so in the movie, this girl gets into all kinds of mayhem with others like herself, that they finally go into lockdown. Laverne Cox, she does a great job. She plays Dr. Cable, I think that was her name. And she's the one that's pushing everyone to get the surgery, you know, because it's going to make you better looking. Well, one, if you get the surgery, people still don't like you. Duh. Let me say it again. Wonder if after the surgery, after you've done everything you thought you needed to do to make yourself a likable person by your whoever you think supposed to like you, that people still don't like you. Then apparently you're ugly inside, right? Because people tend to like nice, kind people. You know, they may think they're weak or whatever, but at least they are likable people because people can feel from you when you're kind. I remember recently I was walking and I saw this woman, her car door was pressed against the curb. So, you know, the seat was low. I've been in that situation. So I understood why she was having a problem getting in the car. The guy, her husband or whoever it was, they were driving her. They were in the driver's seat. She had gotten it already twice when I was walking towards the car. And I merely said to her, let me help you. And I said it in Spanish because she was Hispanic. And she thanked me so profusely. Thank you so much. I'm like, look, let me lift the door up. You okay? You safe? So she got in. Then maybe about a week later, I ran into some young girl was walking. And I think she dropped something and fell or something happened. And I said, you okay? You're going to be okay? Yes. I'm okay. You know, I guess I extended kindness of the heart to somebody that didn't deserve it, you know. So it's things like that that we do that we don't think they'll come back around. And if we live long enough, I'm here to tell you they do. Take it or leave it. You don't have to believe me. My mother used to tell me or tell us as a family, the kids, never mistreat people because you never know who you're going to need before your life is over with. Okay, that was one thing. Then she used to tell us, I've already been where you are, meaning our age. I've already been those ages. You got to live long enough to get to where I already am. And it took me a long time to understand what she meant by that. And even though I walked through most of my early adult life feeling ugly, just like the uglies, like, you know, in those days, the time I was a kid and going to high school, you know, it was like well into the late 70s, you know, well into the, yeah, that era. So you're talking about somebody that's, you know, over 60. And I remember clearly that everyone wanted to have long straight hair. Everyone wanted to, none of us liked our hair. No one liked their mouth. No one liked anything about themselves because we lived in a society that didn't promote those kind of things until the society found out, or the powers that be. The powers that be are your people that do the news, people that could change the paradigm, people that give the news people information, those people can change the paradigm. The outlets that report the news can change the paradigm simply by telling the truth. The thing about lies, I guess nobody understands this, but the thing about lies is that eventually you're going to get caught and the lie will be seen and you're going to be even more embarrassed than you would have been had you told the truth. That's what I've discovered. Take it or leave it. You don't have to believe me. Live long enough. Thinking, you know, people are faking like they have talent. And yeah, Hollywood may elevate you and because somebody likes you or you talk to the right people or it's because they're trying to do this or promote this right now, push this theme or whatever and shove it down people's throat. At some point, the cream will always rise to the top. The uglies will always show themselves and the pretties will be pretty, whether they've shown themselves or not. So as the movie proceeds and as people rebel against more of, why can't I retain my individuality? Why do I have to conform or be made to feel bad because I refuse to conform? And so in the society, those that can refuse to conform or the outcast. They're the ones that the society mocks, laughs at. Now, if you see it, I'm going to say that you can take it or believe it. everyone, including Black folk, Hispanic people, anyone that was at the bottom of the society, will rise because of the natural laws of causality. They will rise to the top. That's why now you're seeing more Black people everywhere. Everything's going to go back exactly where it came from, although mankind tried to lie and change things. And there were times that slaves, even though they were brilliant, you know, we're just discovering who did this and who was doing that, even though they lied and put their name on it. You guys have to understand, I'm teaching you history. You can take it or leave it. Go do the research so you can know where the world is going and why it's going in that direction. There was a time that people that were enslaved, Black folk, whoever, well, I'm saying particularly Black people because we're in America. I'm not saying people that came over here as immigrants. I'm talking about people that were brought over here from another whole nother continent, not country, continent, over to America, then told, lose your name, lose your identity. We want you to be Chicken George from the roots, you know, or, you know, my name is Kunta Kinte. No. Your name is whatever name we give you. And then take their talent, erase it off the books, and put their name on it. Because after a while, we weren't allowed to write our own names. I'm telling you the truth. You need to really check out the kind of things we've been doing to each other. And you might wonder why there's so much conflict and so much hatred and all of that stuff. Because it's all built on a lie. You're only as ugly as someone perceives you to be. You're only as pretty as someone perceives you to be. I've known a lot of models, especially famous models, have so many flaws and imperfections. And the reason they are famous with those same flaws and imperfections, because flaws and imperfections can always be made over. But there's something about the person that has those flaws and imperfections that can be made into this beautiful face, this beautiful, you know, image that can be presented to the world. They call it, you know, touch-ups, change makeup, color your hair, cut it, lengthen it, wig it, wave it, do whatever you want to. At the end of the day, when we all go home and we have to face ourselves in the mirror, who are we? Are we ugly, or do we call ourselves ugly, or do we call ourselves pretty? So in this society, let's just say, I'm going to take an example. Let's just say that all of a sudden the government said, okay, we're going to fund for free anyone out there in the society. And it may come to this with technology that doesn't want to be their own race anymore. They want to see how it feels to walk in another skin color. We're going to fund anyone that, okay, they're doing that now where you don't like the sex here. We're going to, what sex do you want to be? Okay, we're going to make you that sex. We're going to fund anyone that, I like my skin, but I want my eyes this color. I want my mouth to be like that, or I want my mouth to be like, I want my nose to be like that. I want it to be like that. I want my eyes to be like that. Or I want my hair to be like that. So I want this lifted, and I want this lifted, and I want this done, and I want that done. And the government said, we're going to fund it. I wonder, aren't you curious to know how many people would go up there to get themselves changed without changing anything on the inside, just the outside? And my mother used to say, I don't care what they do in Hollywood. Botox, low-tox, replace knees, replace eyes, get your figure any way you want to. You're still going to be the same age you are on the inside. Unless they change all your kidneys that have lived as long as you have. Unless they change all your stomach lining, your livers, replace your heart. And I've seen replaced hearts, and it's not a fun thing, you know. And do all of that, all you're changing is the outside. So how do we change the inside where the outside naturally reflects the beauty or the disbeauty, the harmony or the disharmony of the entity that resides inside of this or that particular being? How are we going to do that? So the movie again, here we are, the poor things, they're running. They're trying to hide and trying to keep from going through this horrid thing where they're going to lose themselves, you know, if they undergo surgery and become pretty in the standard that pretty is considered to be. And another thing you want to think about, wonder if the powers that be grew. They grew individually and said, you know what? Remember back in 2024 when we thought about making everyone look the same way. Well, how about we want to make them look different now? What do we do? And so there. So are the standards of beauty based on the times? Are they going to be the same standards in 10 years that they are now? One thing that nobody said about Teyana Taylor winning is that she's Black. She's dark skinned. I'm like, not that I have anything against anybody. Whatever their color is beautiful, whatever it is. But the fact that the sister is dark skinned, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Can we get some versatility up in here, please? I feel the same way when I see Scandinavian people and people from Sweden that I've happened to have visited. And their skin, even Asians, their skin is so white, so porcelain-like, that it's just unbelievably gorgeous. I don't understand why when I go to a store, any store, let's say we're going to a store to pick a color, I don't understand why the Black color can be just as an option as the white one. The white one can be just an option as the brown one or the tan or whatever color the person may happen to be. I don't understand why that's not good enough. What's wrong with that? What's wrong that Leslie Jones, thank you for starting to wear makeup, because makeup does enhance people's inner beauty and their outer beauty. So I love that we can now see your face, because you wear a little bit more makeup. You don't need a lot of makeup, because I find you attractive, because I like your personality and I like what you stand for. But the fact that you start wearing a little bit more makeup, it did pop the already beautiful features you have. Like, I love people with big mouths. I think it's the sexiest thing, and big teeth. I love teeth and mouths. You know, some people like booties. I like the teeth and the mouths. And when people talk, sometimes if someone is really telling something or talking about something that they want to talk about, it's like you can taste the words. They sound like food because the person's so intense in the way they're moving their mouth and their teeth and their tongues. You know, I love that kind of thing. And I wanted to shout out to Leslie Jones for, you know, saying something and making a stance against some of the things. You can do that as a comic. And when the people that have platforms and know what they're talking about, they have some sense of intelligence and not bashing and bad-mouthing with an unintelligent mind, that you can speak with authority on things that we know that, you know, I'm way older than you, sweetheart, that we know that we've experienced in the industry. Now, when I was in the military, I experienced direct racism. Some people are just ignorant, and who wants to know them anyway, you know, but not so much in the secular world. I just ignored it. It was a few times where someone would see their own trigger. Maybe they wanted my mouth or my eyes or my beautiful nose or whatever I had, and it would trigger them. Yeah. I don't like that. Usually people don't like it. They see their own mirror. So I act as a mirror sometimes. I'm sure Leslie Jones and Tiana Taylor, anybody else out there, that's prominent. But in looking in my own mirror, I've never, even when I was younger, I never wanted to be like anybody else. I wanted money. Like, ooh, they can afford that kind of car. Well, I want money so I can get the kind of car I want, you know. Wow, she can dress like that. She's a model. Well, I wanted the money so that I could dress the way I wanted to dress, not necessarily dress like her. Someone said to me just like 3 weeks ago or something, oh my gosh, you used to be a model, didn't you? Because you're so slim. And I said, I've been slim my whole life. And the people judge so many people by, oh, you're slim or you're whatever you are. Do you know that when I was younger in the Black community, in particular in the South, they got the big booties and they got the wide hips and they have, you know, the hair, the whatever, the energy, the personality. I could not do anything. I couldn't be a cheerleader, a baton twirler, a drum major, nothing. Because in those days, those girls had figures. They'd be like 14, 15, and their parents and family would have to worry that they were going to get hit on like older women because they would be developed by those times. I never developed like that. And I took my little head bowed, and my dad would tell me, that's okay, baby. When everybody else is getting fat, you're going to just be getting fine. And now I know what my dad was talking about. You know, that spread comes when, ooh, it looks good when it comes at the right time and all of those things. But then I was completely miserable. I mean, I couldn't do anything. So I ended up, what I did end up doing, a little bit of my background, I became like a public speaker. So I was one of the kids that was smart. So they had a speech. I remember I gave some speech about the World War II at the time and the auditorium and, you know, how eloquent and how I sounded and how I was able to speak these words that I had to train myself to speak and how I got a standing ovation. And, you know, my teachers were like, we expect for you to do something. Well, I never knew it would take me 45, 50 years later to do something, but they still saw it and it was still in there. And even though my parents, not so much my dad, much more my mom, tried to discourage me from being an artist and being talented and being where I am, guess what, mom and dad? It still came out and it didn't go anywhere. And eventually I became wise enough and mature enough that I could take those talents and make the best use of them at the time. So again, who is determining who's ugly and who's pretty? I would think it would be a matter of perception. So in the movie, I think they eventually have to conform or whatever they have to do, you know, to do something. And there is just a teeny bit of a conform that one has to do depending on what they've chosen to do in life. If you want to be an artist and you're going to paint and you're going to exhibit in the world, not just have it for yourself, there is some sort of regulation. There are rules and regulations to go along with being presenting, exhibiting, working with other artists, being in a circle, a community of artists, you know, and all those things. So there is some kind of way we do have to learn how to harmonize with other people. Some of those people will be like us. Some of those people won't. I'm always saying this, enjoy different cultures. I have grown so much being around different cultures. I've grown so much, you know, learning more about my own culture by being around other cultures. I'm serious. I learned more about being a woman, a Black woman, from being around white women, Asian women, because they are being who they are, it made me look at more of who I am. Like, well, you know, we do that, but no, not in the same way. Or, yeah, that's what you guys do when you get up in the morning. That's your ritual. Wow, not in the same way. Now, the Asian community, I will say they grew up in America, but they weren't the prominent. It's usually black and white that are the polarized racial thing, black and white, which is so stupid. It's like if you knew how ignorant that was, we would stop immediately. But there are still those of us who tend to want to stay in the past and don't want to grow and don't want to change. And we don't, you know, even though we're sick and we look bad and our lives smell bad. And when I say our lives, I mean the inner part of who we are. It stinks. People can smell it when they're around you if you're negative inside, no matter how much perfume you may be wearing, no matter how many clothes or cologne or whatever we're covering it up, people can smell ugly. It smells. Ugh. It has its own scent. You know, just like we can smell pretty. An old woman walking down the street, she's probably in her 90s, and such a lovely presence, such a lovely spirit. Somebody, you just smile like, look at that beautiful old woman or old man. And you can see the life has etched itself on their face and how life has shaped them into the person that you see walking. And it's such a beautiful thing to see because that means they made it through the matrix. They made it through. They got to the other side where they've done their service to the society. They probably live the life they want to live every once in a while. And yes, there are, people are living longer. And a lot more centenarians are doing things at later times in life, you know. But still, by the 90s and all that, you've done a lot of, you know, life and living. And you just kind of want to kick back and, you know, stay comfortable and, you know, not, you know, if there's people that want to hear your stories, oh my goodness, my favorite thing to do was to go on the porch and brush my grandmother's hair who had Native. She looked like she had Choctaw. I think we were Native American. Brush her hair with the brush and help her what we call plaiting, P-L-A-I-T, not braiding. Braiding is an English term. Plaiting, P-L-A-I-T was what the Africans and the black folks used. Just so you know, go look it up. But anyway, and do her hair, and it was so long. And I would pick the, mine wasn't straight like that. Mine was like this, still basically the same, curly, wavy when it's wet, straight as an arrow when it's dry. Yuck. But anyway, and brush her hair, and I get so much comfort out of her telling her stories about when they were young and what happened. And I think I told you guys one time, she was into Hiawatha. She always said the story of Hiawatha. And she had this picture in the hall of Hiawatha, and he looked Polynesian or something to me. He had the thing around his head. I still can see the photo. Long, straight black hair in between two mountains with water in between them running on both sides of the water. So I guess it was comforting to her, but it stuck with me. Like, why is she a picture? And who the hell is Hiawatha? So it took me many, many years to go and look up Hiawatha and see, you know, what the connection was. But, you know, again, wonder if you had to turn pretty and be around other pretty people that you don't even resonate with. They, you know, they don't like you. You don't like them, but you're all pretty. Ouch. Just think about how that's going to be or how that would be. And I think that in some cases, the society is trying to do that. And what they can't understand, we have a tendency to want to copy, and I don't understand it, so let me either kill it or try to copy it and see why it's doing that, rather than accepting the way I love to live. My Armenian friends, I love them to I wouldn't want them to be anything else but Armenian. That's what I like about them, that they're Armenian and they're different than me. I don't want them to be like me. I don't want any of my white friends. And I tell you, I've had a few friends around me. It bothered me when they did something to their face. Like, what are you saying? You don't like yourself? What are you doing by trying to change your mouth? You don't like yourself? What are you doing? Now, I can understand if someone has a mouth that no shape or no nothing, and they may want to enhance their mouth. That is a normal thing I would think that somebody wants to do. But when you already have a nice full mouth, according to the way your face and your bones are structured, and you already have gorgeous eyes that somebody else might want to kill for because they may be green and mine are dark brown, you know, whatever, then I'm going to question who you think you are on the inside. You got some insecurities and some trauma and some trauma bonds that need to be healed, because I can sincerely tell you, as badass as I think La Roach, Zendaya, Tiana Taylor, Beyonce, Charlize Theron, Kate Hudson, I think is pretty. Kim Kardashian has a certain look, but she's attractive and so are a lot of other people. As beautiful as they all are, I would not trade places and want to be none of them for nothing in the world, because they've got to age. I don't know how Zendaya might look in 20 years. I know how she looks now. I don't know how they might age and how they might look and what life may throw into their lives to develop them into the person that they're going to be at a certain age, and they're going to age and grow old. But I do know that there is no way that anyone should ever try to look like anyone but yourself. Everyone has their own unique beauty. It took me years. I have a mole in the front of my mouth. I didn't know that was unique until years later. People started, oh my gosh, is that real? Yes, that is a real live mole in the center of my mouth. And then not only that, as you get older, different things in your culture come out. I've got freckles on my face. Who knew? Then as you get older, the black side comes out, or the white part in you comes out, or whatever kind of mixture you have in you will come out. Who knows? But I'm here to tell you that please, whatever you do, and I love La Roach. I would love to have money to afford someone like him to do my styling in my wardrobe. Not that I want to look like Zendaya. Zendaya is like 30 some years, whatever, younger than me. So why would I want to look like her? But she is gorgeous at the stage in her life that she's in. Tiana Taylor is gorgeous. They're all beautiful. Everyone is gorgeous when they're young. Everyone is. But it's as you get older and how you can preserve your youth and how much of your energy and your beauty you can retain, so that as the outer beauty fades, your inner beauty will take over and you'll still shine and look gorgeous no matter what age you are. That's what I've discovered. Okay. So we're going to end right there, but I wanted you to think about something. You know, all of the rebels out there, all of the people that decided to be who they are, it's hard to be who you are when people expect you to be who they want you to be. And you just have to fight to stay who you are. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm here. You know, there may be a time that we all are asked, do we want to be someone else? Or I want to be famous so bad. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to do anything to be famous. You know, just think about that and think about the price and think about the cost, because everything has a price and everything has a cost. And just think about if that's something you want to pay. Okay. So, you know, think about it. Think about it. Something you want to pay. And if you do, go for it. And whatever you decide to do, be damn good at it and be the best you are. So that's our show for today. That's what I talk about. Next week, we'll have a guest. Shout out to Sam Hassan. Thank you so much for believing in me and trusting me and letting me have a platform so that I can say and be who I am. And shout out to all of the people out there, my fans, I loke you. I love you. And I told you guys that loke came from, I had a boyfriend. He used to tell me he loked me. And I kept saying, why don't you do something with yourself? Why don't you become a comic? You have all these good things. He never did it. So I used the word loke because I thought it was such a good idea that he came up with. And so I loke you. It means that I like you for who you are, that you show up on the show. You show up for yourself every day. You look in yourself at the mirror and you perfect who it is you are, not change. Perfect who you already are. And I love you because you're such kind and beautiful spirits out there to understand me and know what I'm trying to say when I get up here on the podcast. Everything else has been said. I'm not at war. I don't dislike people. I really work to create harmony. And it's difficult to create harmony in a disharmonious world when everyone's shit is what keeps people stimulating. Well, I don't believe in that. I believe that peace is a wonderful stimulus as well. And let's see, don't forget to like my channel. Without you, I couldn't do it. I need your subscriptions. I need your likes. I need you to look at the show and talk to me online. You can talk to me. I'm easy to talk to. And I'll usually see another perspective, not just my own. So anyway, that's it for today. And I want to say bye, and I'll see you next time. Don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.